Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and loads of other things.
Cupra Formenta. Cupra Tormenta.
Tormenta?
Yeah. I keep Isn't reading it? The badge on the car I'm driving this week, which is a Cupra Formenta, as the Tormenta, because it almost sounds like either a bad wrestler or a marital aid. The Cupra Tormenta. I realise, A, I reckon Cupra have sold more cars than Volkswagen in the last 12 months because I see so many of the bloody things.
This is what I was going to say. I've seen loads of those Cupra fermentations.
Yeah.
I was like, who's buying them? Because it's a very, to my mind, it's quite a hard car to understand.
It is in my mind as well.
I don't know what it's... Like, for a start, and I know this is shoddy because I am supposed to be a car journalist, but I have no idea what it costs.
No, more than a Skoda, more than a Volkswagen, and more than a Seat, because it's not a Seat, obviously, and you mustn't say that.
But it is a Seat.
But it is a Seat.
And also a Volkswagen. So yeah. It's sort of meant to be a kind of... Is a crossover, I suppose it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think with the Tormenta is, and then you've got... But you've got other... There's other... Cupras, isn't there?
But this is the only bespoke Cupra, as in it doesn't share any body panels with any other Seat.
That's right, yeah. But, you know, I know why. I know why they've sold so many Cupras. I've driven a Leon FR this week, which obviously stands for fuck right off. just the same as the Yamaha FR80 did when we were kids, a little shaft drive rival to the Honda Cub. We used to call it the Yamaha fuck right off 80. And I know why that they're selling so many. I've realised this.
Hmm.
It's because they've still got those lovely physical rotating knobs for volume and stuff on the steering wheel, rather than the sort of like wipe the snot off your finger up and down and nothing happens.
Yeah,
and
then I've got a clammy thumb and nothing works. Yeah. Well, they're binning that, apparently. Volkswagen have realised it was an absolutely shatting, terrible idea, and they're getting rid.
I hope they get rid of the one where you also have to wipe your finger like some sort of swab test to open the sunroof, because it's infuriating. Oh, my gosh. If anyone's listening to this and they've got a VW Group car which has a swipe to open / close / adjust the blind of the switch, it never registers what you want it to do. So the other day, howling with rain, and I accidentally opened the sunroof fully, and it did the full, like, from start to finish reveal. So it was a bit like the train toilet door that we talked about in previous podcasts, where once it sets off, that's it.
Yes, that's it.
Do you remember the little divider from Blind Date, when you finally got to see one another after all the questions about, I don't know, what would you...
It was, very thick... Yet visibly, it was obviously quite light. You could tell it was just a bit of set, and it was made of balsa.
It was balsa. It was painted balsa, wasn't it?
And yeah, but it was needlessly thick for some reason.
That's right. In case there was a fighty situation, it's not like it was the Berlin Wall, is it? It's a sort of balsa Berlin Wall. What the hell are we talking about? The swipe to open sunroof.
Yeah, which car was that in, sorry?
That was actually in the Leon F-Ride-Off Estate,
was it? Okay.
Which I really liked the car, and all the other switches, all of them, a lot of the other switches were good. But of course...
It's funny, because Skoda, I was driving the new Fabia not long ago, and because Skoda are, obviously they have to use certain carryover parts from the overall Volkswagen group, but they are allowed their own steering wheel. And their own steering wheel, two-spoker, has physical buttons on it.
Hallelujah.
And it's just much nicer than trying to use the one in, say, a current Golf. But yeah, apparently VW are now doing a little U-turn on this one because the customer feedback has been so bad about those awful, awful touch-sensitive buttons.
But imagine if you owned one of those cars and you got to live with it for a while. I mean, that's like, I think I said it a couple of casts ago. It's the only reason why I haven't ordered an ID Buzz. Because I like the car hugely, but I don't want to live with that infotainment system and that steering wheel. Because it's something you use every day, like probably every 20 seconds of a driver experience. And therefore it will piss you off to the point where you'll punch the dashboard like some sort of infuriating 80s American person in a film. You know, where they always punch a dash or a steering wheel really hard. I used to watch those in films. I think Tom Cruise used to do that quite a lot in the 80s.
Yeah, I think he liked a dashboard punch, didn't he?
Yeah, and I always found it to be, I was a little worried about it might set off something.
Yeah,
it might set the horn off and the horn won't stop because it will jam. It will jam the horn push and then you'll go, oh no, but my anger's calmed down now, but the car's just still going.
Now the car's cross.
Yeah, screw you guys.
You do get a lovely Doppler effect from a car with a jammed on horn as it drives past, though.
Oh, it fills you with
satisfying somehow.
Fills you with panic. Fills you with panic. Don't like it.
Did you, the bit about those awful Volkswagen touch sensitive controls that I just simultaneously kind of amused me, but also just drove me nuts, was when they went, oh, you know, there's a software update. It'll lock out the air conditioning controls when it senses that you actually want to just touch the touchscreen so that you don't accidentally adjust the temperature while you're trying to use the touchscreen. It's like you've come up with a fix for a problem that you created, you fuckwits.
Do you know what they need to do? They need to Chernobyl it. They just need to put it under a concrete sarcophagus and then every 5 years put another concrete sarcophagus over it.
Yes. Yeah, send some probes in to make sure that the touch-sensitive buttons aren't escaping.
And then more concrete. Yeah. And then pretend it doesn't happen. Plant some trees around it, maybe some solar panels. There we go. Look, there's the concrete sarcophagus at Volkswagen, at Wolfsburg, or Zwickau, where the touch-sensitive stuff used to live.
I mean, they're not alone, because I was driving that MG4 the other week, which I know you really liked, and I really liked generally. I think it's a good car, but it wasn't perfect. And one of the things that wound me up about that was, again, touch screen, particularly if you just want to do the heated seats.
Yeah.
So heated seats in, I don't want to sound like a terrible old fart, but the heated seats in cars of bygone times, it's just a ruddy great button, and you press it, and the heated seat starts warming your balloon knot. But in the MG4... It's default, if you've got the home screen on, which has got, you know, what's going on with your infotainment and everything, there's a tab at the top that's the climate control. It's just telling you what temperature you've selected. It doesn't let you to control it. You have to tap the tab to open the climate control screen. And then there's a tiny, tiny button for the heated seats. And particularly, if you don't want it on full, you have to then tap at it. And the target area is smaller than the end of your finger.
I'm glad you found this out, because you're a pedant as well. I was driving the MG5 Estate, the car recently reviewed off of the Late Break Show, my other job, and it took me 5 minutes to find it, I'd say. And when I did, it is an off or an on. It's smaller than a 5 pence piece. Is it a 1 cent coin? A 1 cent coin, an American cent, is smaller than a 5p, I reckon.
Isn't it? No, I don't think it is. No, 5p is a really tiny coin, isn't it, in the general scheme of things? So,
okay.
Yeah, it is 5p sized, and it doesn't always respond. And particularly if you just go, oh, I don't want it on mega hot, I want it on like setting 1 or 2. It starts on 3, so then you have to tap it down. The main problem with these things is that you have to look.
Yes, off the road.
You have to look with more than just peripheral vision.
Yeah.
To try, and if you are negotiating a sort of a wet back road, basically you just have to go, I'll have to take care of this once I've finished driving, because it's too dangerous to try and do it while you're moving. I understand the reasons why they've done it, but it's just like, it's not that they've done it per se, it's that they've done it badly. The execution of the user interface is, in an awful lot of cars, absolutely cocking terrible.
Yeah. And I would say that before I left the drive with the cup full of torment, or I thought, do you know what? I'm going to put the heated seats on before I even leave the drive, because that's a responsible thing to do. You set all the controls. Well, let me tell you, the infotainment takes 4 minutes to boot up properly, and it's done this 3 days on the trot. So 4 minutes is actually about half the drive of my kids to school at the moment. So half of the drive we can't properly get the radio up, can't properly put a poo cooker on. And it's like, come on.
Christ.
Anyway, gripe over.
That was a bit kind. Anyway, but so the tormentor.
Yes.
Torment's one of those words. I associate torment with, like, you know, your parents going, don't torment your brother. It's that kind of
parental
odd
comment.
Word. It doesn't come up a lot in day-to-day life. But
no.
So I've heard other people speak highly of this car.
Yeah.
And I've never tried one, but you like it.
I think it's a good product on the whole. I just don't know. I just can't see it ever being my first choice for that money, for that type of car. But
what money is it then?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me this, you wanker.
Ballpark. 100 million pounds. No, £4.
No,
£35,000, something like that? No, it can't be. Is it 40? It must be 40.
It's probably, I think it is about 40. I mean, do you know what? Look,
I'm just thinking, I honestly
just
don't
stop,
know.
Stop it. Let me just check.
All right, Cupra. Here we go.
You're going to have to cut this out because
it's fine.
Because I should have known.
Cupra Formentera. Is it named after Formentera, the Illyrica?
Probably.
I suppose it might be. It's only just occurred to me. It's like, hang on a sec.
Oh, it will be.
Is that why it's called that? Because they all have sort of Spanishy kind of names, don't they? Say it. It's not just say it, though, is it?
Ask Cup Tormentor.
Now their website is as annoying as their frigging touchscreen interface. I'm clicking Tormentor and it's not frigging working.
It's because it's bad touch.
Oh, starting from... Hey, no, well, it's not as... Starting from £30,205, so it's not as much as I thought.
Okay.
But that's for the, I mean, I guess that's for the basic, you know.
Well, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right now.
Mm.
Just by the Born, the Cupra Born identity, because the Cupra Born identity is a fantastic car. Yes, it's got rubbish switches, and they all kind of have. I think someone will come up with a hack at some point where you can spatula them out of the... Or do you know what? Why don't you just put... Could you buy a steering wheel of a Mark 7 Golf?
Yeah.
And just have it retrofitted with the airbag that's still active and maybe the volume still works. And then just live with it like that. Put it, wrap it up in cling film, put it in the loft. And then when you sell the car, put the wheel back on. And then the wheel won't have any kind of wear on it.
But then maybe what you could do is you could get a wheel from a car off the same platform.
Yes.
So if a Skoda wheel would work, but then I don't know, does the Skoda... I don't know about that. It's probably all in some deep, deep coding thing that you can't hack into very easily. I'm just looking at the Cupra website and I'm scrolling down at the information about the Formentera. And one of the things it lists as a feature is genuine black leather. Which it's like it's genuinely black, is it? It's not pretend black. It's not actually very, very, very dark blue.
I was
it's actual
say,
black leather. That's great. Thanks.
Imagine if it was immensely dark grey. I mean, yeah. I'm a little colourblind, so I actually wouldn't know or care.
You're not grey black colourblind, though, are you?
Don't think so. Although, no, it's mostly dark blues, blacks, that kind of thing. I've regularly worn blue trousers with a black jumper, which has annoyed me and people around me.
style gurus.
Not allowed to do it, apparently. It's not allowed to.
No, well, so they say. Do you know what? The Cupra website is christingly exhausting to look at. I'm just trying to find out how much the bloody cars cost, and it's almost impossible. So.
Really?
Fuck you, Cupra. I'm not buying your cars. Stupid. I mean, Jesus Christ. Why can't it just... Oh, like download a price list. Here we go. That's all I want.
How long has it taken you for that?
As long as it takes their bloody infotainment to boot up.
Bloody
right, so there's different trim. Oh, my God. Who has time for this? Different trim models. V1, V2, and then VZ1 to VZ3. But why? So your basic V1 is £30,205, but then...
Which no one will buy, probably.
No, I don't know what engines do I... Like, and we know about cars a bit.
Yeah, but it's still confusing.
So we sort of have a head start on this. And this, I find this just vexing beyond belief. Because I don't know if you find this, if you're ever writing about cars, you know, doing a script or whatever, and you just want some simple information, like how much a car weighs. And it is so hard to find it these days on a lot of manufacturers' websites. Or even, you know, some of them, they don't put it in the press bump and you've got to ring somebody, shock horror. It's bananas.
I'll tell you another thing about the tormenting Cupra. Although I feel like I should say it in a, it's almost the, it's the fool. How dare you defy the Cooper Fomentor? it's like the
Fomentor.
Yeah, Fomentor. It's like the baddie from. Do you remember Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles? I think he was called Shredder. I think he was called Shredder, or some sort of baddie from an 80s cartoon like Thundercats, Mumra the Undead. Fools! How dare you come in here, you cretinous minds, and defy me? I'm Cooper for Mentor. You cannot overcome me.
Dare you to defy for Mentor?
That's exactly what it is. I'm itching to know what the next Cupra model is going to be called. Is it? It's going to become
Mumra.
The Cupra Mumra. Cupra Mumra.
Cupra.
Cupra Kambana. I don't know. Well, anyway, there's one more thing about the Cupra fermenter that is actually fermenting my head.
Mm.
Quite badly. I think it's trying to play tricks, mind tricks on me. Because the start-stop button, like a lot of cars have got now, rather than a key going in a hole, it's on the steering wheel, a bit like where the volume control would be on with your right thumb. But of course, you use it once a journey, don't you? Unless you like turning cars off mid-motorway or mid-B road, which I tend not to do. Although I have done it before accidentally and absolutely soiled myself. But the fermenter has that, and then right by the sort of the gear shift clitoris, it's got a... the electronic stability control button, the same size as the starter button. And because I've been driving loads of cars recently where it is there, I keep diving in and pressing it. And what I'm doing is I'm just turning traction control off and then getting out the car, and the car's going, "Oi, you haven't turned me off." And I'm going, "Oh, shit, no, I haven't. I've actually just turned traction control off and walked away."
Did you find that odd about the MG4, since we were talking about that, that you don't turn it off? Like a Tesla or a Polestar.
Like a Tesla or a Polestar.
You just get out. It feels unnatural.
It feels like there's unfinished business, like no closure on the situation. That's what it feels like to me.
You want closure.
I want closure,
well, that's
mate.
That's the problem. I found out you can get closure by going into a sub-menu and there's a switch the car off thing, but it's about three layers down. And you just go, it's too much faff, I could just get out. But it just feels wrong.
This is why I like a key in a hole, because when you take the key, you know you've taken it out of the car because you had to turn the car off. And because the car's not running, the key must be somewhere. Do you know what I mean? It's just an easier process for my little head to follow. Whereas I get out of cars that are still running now, then I don't know where the key is because it's in a console or in a bag.
Well, this is the other thing, isn't it? An ignition hole is a really useful place just to keep a key while the car is in use. And then you know where the key is. You don't, for example, have the key in someone else's bag who then gets out of the car.
Well, quite. It sounds like you're talking on behalf of a friend, doesn't it, Richard? Who might have had a situation where maybe they dropped their wife off once and then drove a considerably long way to find out they had no way of restarting a car. I mean, these things have happened.
And how considerable was the way?
Let's just say circa 100 miles.
Oh, my God.
But
not walking distance.
Okay. Not walking distance, unless you're a very enthusiastic walker with time on your hands. But, yeah, but all of these 21st century issues, which nobody asked for, could be avoided with a prong that goes in a gash. And that's what we've had for years. Have we not?
Well, I like keyless to a degree, but at the same time, I do find it refreshing. RE-Up, for example, though it is an electrical car...
You put a thing in a dong, don't you?
It's got old bones, so you put the key in a hole, and it's sort of quite refreshing. And it's got a manual handbrake. So is my Panda. Quite nice. Key in a hole.
I do quite like it.
I have to ask, though, have you... You said you've turned off a car whilst... driving, what, by like pushing a start stop button?
It wasn't really modern. I mean, I regularly turn off my Dodge when I'm driving because I used to do it if I was coming home later, so I didn't wake anyone up, and it doesn't have steering lock. So you can just... And the Beetle doesn't have steering lock, so you can turn the engine off at 70 miles an hour and you can coast wherever you want. It's got no servo, so it doesn't affect the brakes. It's actually quite nice. Although I think if the police are listening to this, I haven't done that because it's probably
the equivalent
illegal.
Of having a glider.
It's like that. It's like my Thomas Crown moment with Steve McQueen in the glider with those gorgeously tobacco-tinted aviators, which, as you know from WhatsApp messages, I'm a bit irritated by aviator sunglasses. Anyway, that's a deviation from the conversation. I feel like they don't suit anybody.
No, they do, though.
They don't.
But they do.
They don't suit Tom Cruise.
Like, there's certain sunglasses, like wraparound sunglasses don't suit anybody. Everybody looks like an absolute helmet in wraparound sunglasses. No exceptions. I'm not having it.
Do you mean the... is that when we had those... We kept sending pictures to one another of how 90s sunglasses... Peak 90s sunglasses. I think we found Matt LeBlanc going to a red carpet event wearing it, where it looks like black ladybirds over his eyes.
Incredibly delicate, like two large fingernails attached to black painted fingernails with a wire frame to arrange them into a spectacle shape, but wrapping about, the curvature was too much.
And they were
nobody, name nailed, me anybody and I will tell you they don't suit them.
Nail gels. They do look like nail gels over your eyes, over your closed eyes.
So that I'm with you. And also strangely coloured runner's sunglasses. Weird.
Well, we can't go don't down really that road. Right. No.
But the aviator, not having it. The aviator looks good on some, not all people, but some people.
Not on Tom Cruise, which is ironic given that he's the Top Gun Maverick.
You see, I don't agree with you. I think that Tom Cruise, maybe I've been conditioned by the fact that he's gone, no, I'm Maverick out of Top Gun, so of course I'm wearing aviators.
Yeah, I think he's brainwashed you into thinking they suit him. But you look again, they're always crooked. They always look like he's slightly sat on them. And I can't bear it. I can't bear it. Just pick a different sunglass, please.
Well, but then there's always the risk that I bet if you looked, you'd find some pictures of Tom Cruise in some dreadful wraparound sunglasses from the...
Yeah, he might do. What about if... If he was wearing those fishing ones or the flip downs, a couple of, you know, like they look like the eyebrows of Johnny Five from Short Circuit. You know the you know the ones I mean.
Yes,
and they're actually sun visors for the eyes, aren't they? They're car sun visors on your face.
They are.
No, I was going to talk about Double Legacy. We can do it briefly. It doesn't have to go on a long time. But
it's a film I've never seen.
It's not a film. It's, for its full title, I'll call it Grand Designs Double Legacy. There's a house quite near me, and I've been going running a certain circuit.
Mm.
Not as often as I should, but anyway. And I've noticed this really nice revamped house that is a little bit Kevin MacLeod spec. And on the drive are his and hers, I presume, or his and his, or hers and hers, legacies. So they've got this really fresh house that's quite out there and angled and expanses of glass. And one of the legacies
for light flooding.
I'm going to call them pheasant legacies because one of them's quite sporty looking, and I haven't stopped and looked, so I apologise to listeners. I don't know the exact spec, but it looks sporty, body colour bumpers, deep metallic. It might be an STI, I don't even know. But the other one is very dowdy. So I think they're like pheasants. One of them's like a female pheasant legacy, and one of them's like a male pheasant legacy. One of them's maybe to blend in.
How old are these legacies?
Very early 2000s, I'm going to say, sort of 51 plate, 52, that kind of era.
Okay.
Mm.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Hmm.
But I like it. Do you know why I like
it? Yeah.
I like it because most of the Grand Design-esque dwellings around this area have nearly always got the same cars on the drive, which I'm finding quite boring. So it's quite nice to see a pair of legacies. pheasant.
Well, it is, because, but it sort of fits, I think, doesn't it? Is that if you're sort of a thoughtful, architecturally minded person,
yeah,
a Subaru Legacy, it just works, doesn't it?
It does.
You would have maybe had a Saab.
Yeah.
You might have had, back in the day,
yes,
a Citroën CX or a
C6. Oh, yeah, yes, CX, yeah, CX.
But just your natural inclination to err towards the slightly quirky.
Yeah, but also very practical. It's quirk and practicality. That's what the CX always was. What a family box that was.
I'm smelling actual architects living there.
Oh, are you? Yeah, bought the house at the bottom of the market, but knew all along they had a vision that would work for it.
Yeah.
So they went in hard on said vision.
Because also, I'm getting a hint, a little whiff of slightly, not old money as such, but, you know.
This isn't their first house project. That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, because the cars are not new and flash.
No.
Money goes in the house because...
Exactly that.
It's a better investment, and it's also just more interesting than having a Q5 on the drive that's brand new.
Yeah. Yeah, but you still got to hack around to Screwfix and Travis Perkins. So legacies are just a brilliant for that. You know, all the other jingle houses near me, it's either a pair of Teslas or a pair of Land Rovers / Range Rovers.
Oh, okay.
There's loads of them. Loads of them. Mm. Mm. And I'm a bit over those combinations, so...
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought I'd put that out there. And the other one is, on the same run, actually, go past another house, not that far away, within about half a mile, and quirky Fiat household.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So for years, I remember this house, for years they had a Fiat Maria. Or Maria.
Oh.
Is it Maria?
Maria. Yes, Maria. Maria.
Maria. M-A-R-E-A. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, how many times in the last 10 years have you seen Fiat Marias? You just don't see them, do you, Maria?
No, in this country.
Not in this country. It's almost like a car that you rented in Portugal and drove it home and you just never went back.
You'd flown there. Like my mate, who walked home from something he'd driven to because he forgot he'd taken the car.
No way.
You forgot that you'd flown to Portugal and accidentally drove home in your Hertz Fiat Maria. And you're like, oh, well.
It's like going bowling. And we've all done it, haven't we? You go temping bowling, you have a few.
What, you walk off in the stinky shoes?
Oh, yeah, I went clubbing and then looked down and realised I was wearing those shoes.
What, the stinky Chicago 1920s gangster shoes?
Yes, and everybody laughed, and of course I was battered, and it was late. I had to go back the next day into the city with a big hangover. Yeah, and I had to say, excuse me, here's my shoes. I think you've got my shoes. I'm really sorry. And I've been out clubbing. Been out till 4 a.m. wearing them. And tell you what, they're dangerous AF in gents' toilets, in clubs, because they've got no grip. No grip at all. I mean, we are talking, what were those tyres that CSL E46 M3s came on that had a parental advisory on? Basically, don't drive them anywhere.
Were they
Michelin's? Were they Spalt contact spolts, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Should I look this up? Because people at home will be shouting at us now.
They will be. And didn't GT2s, didn't 911 GT2s have a similar tyre which came with a parental advisory?
It's embarrassing, isn't it? Because I remember at the time, yeah, they were Michelin Cups.
Yes, that's right.
But they were. I mean, they were famously, it's like, if there's even a hint of moisture in the air, just stay home.
Yeah.
Or you will die.
Yeah. If somebody sneezes nearby, the back end will shimmy. Well, the equivalent of that is accidentally borrowing bowling shoes on a big night out. You've got to be, especially in Britain, where it's probably going to rain at some point, or there's a gents' toilet where probably there's been a bowl overspill, and you honestly can get into a huge amount of trouble. Okay. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Even if, was this not so long ago that you were wearing aggressively bootcut jeans, which acted like sort of a piss Zamboni to clear the way ahead of you?
It was. It probably
actually,
was.
They clear behind you. So they clear behind you.
Yeah, just to draw more attention to myself, I walk backwards into the gents' toilet and then flick around, then do what I need to do at the urinal, and then flick back around again like a bootleg turn. Bootcut leg turn.
Bootcut. Sort of, it might look like you were just doing a shit moonwalk.
And you just have to say to people, no, I'm doing a bootcut leg turn because I don't want to slip over in a deadly gents' toilet.
I'm wearing bowling alley shoes that I accidentally stolen. I'm trying to think. It's so long since I've been bowling.
I love it.
You know, I have a fairly certain memory that if you went, you know, there was a rash of kind of like posh bowling alleys
was
sprung
there?
Up. Well, I was in that there, London.
Bloody hell, I didn't go to any of those. All the ones I went to, they all had Sega Rally in them and people fighting.
Yeah, these ones have been more like, they do sort of slightly fancier food and craft beer. But I'm fairly sure they also didn't make you wear shoes. You just wore your shoes.
Oh, dude.
Maybe it's because I assumed everyone was turning up in, you know, I was going to say Singer Gazelles, but that's a car. I meant Adidas Gazelles, because it was the
if they were Funksters, they might have turned up in Singer Gazelles as well.
Yeah,
but no, I've never been to a bowling alley where you don't wear the bad shoes.
I don't know. I'd have to check this now, but I'm fairly sure that there were some sort of slightly hipster bowling facilities in London, possibly Manchester, where they didn't make you change your shoes. And I'm trying to think why your trad bowling alley would make you change your shoes when, in fact, they have no grip. But I suppose they do have the grip. They have the grip on the wood of the bowling lanes.
Yeah.
But then people are always falling over in bowling lanes. If you've been framed as taught us anything, it's that people fall over a lot in bowling alleys. So
where's this all going? I mean,
look,
where's it
just,
all going?
Guys,
listen,
look, new paragraph.
Listen,
I just wanted to say something. This is a plea.
What?
And speaking as we sort of were about old money.
Yeah.
This is a plea to everybody listening to this. Please, please, please don't send us a link to the Queen's Jaguar X-Type coming up for auction.
Oh, yeah.
We know.
Of course we know.
We know now. It's because this is...
We knew within minutes, guys.
Well, because, yeah, it's almost... it's amazing the auction house didn't just ring one of us directly and go, all right, money where your mouth is, lads. But it's very nice that people have wanted to tell us about this because it means that, you know, we're the people they think of when they see the Queen's X-Type is up for auction. But I realised that the auction isn't until 26th of November.
Oh, I've got a bit of time.
And I've already been sent that X-Type, the link to it, about 47 million times. I don't get any other mail.
It's
from
tiring.
Anybody.
It's quite tiring, isn't it?
So anyway, just to put it out there, we know about the X-Type. It's fantastic. I don't think either of us are going to buy it because we've both recently bought cars. Lovely thought. If I had infinite disposable income, of course I would buy it and then accidentally leave it parked outside my house until it got crashed into by a Tesco van.
Exactly.
I don't. I've nowhere to put it. It would be disrespectful. Hopefully somebody else will buy it and look after it. I feel like it's going to probably go for silly money, won't it, as well?
I bet it'll go for ridiculous money. Not Diana Escort Turbo money, but...
No.
Probably go for... Because, obviously, the Queen's no longer with us, I'm sure it'll go for enormous money. If the Queen was still with us, I don't know. It'd be interesting to do a comparison, but that's not really a possibility. But I do quite like X-Type Estates. It's the car that Ian Callum designed that he talks about very quietly on a very rare occasion. But I always bring it up.
He only did the back, didn't he?
He did the estate bit.
Oversaw the back. But then it's also, he doesn't, another car that he speaks very quietly about and then changes the subject is the Rover 75 Estate.
Yeah, which I love. And you love.
That's a good
I know you do.
Car. I think the 75 Estate is a better looking car than the X-Type Estate.
Yes, it is. I would rather have one, although maybe it won't last as long, but who cares? I do think it's a cool-looking car. And I would love it. You know, in a few years' time, I think a Resto Mod 75 wagon would actually be quite a cool thing. Got time for it. Never owned one. You've owned a saloon, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's a lovely car. I mean, they are... They are... What they've got is they've got a sense that the people making it were giving it their absolute best shot. And I know that's probably true of most cars, that, you know, even the mediocre cars, the people behind, they were doing their best in the face of a very limited budget, a lot of interference from management.
Yes.
People from marketing going, oh, no, it's got to have the same rear headroom as X or Y. And that all knackers it a little bit. But everybody was sincerely trying to do their best. But the 75 had that definite sense of a sort of, come on, everyone. It's a bit of a last roll of the dice for this.
Yeah.
BMW have given us some proper money to do it right. So let's try our hardest. And it's got a sort of appealing sense of just this is what we wanted to do as best we could do it. I mean, obviously some bits of it are still crap, but that's by the by.
Yes, yes.
It has a sort of a certain integrity to it. And the problem is because they've entered their quite a while ago. I think they've entered their sort of not that sought after. They're not quite rare, but nobody cares.
Because no, they're not yet.
They've entered that period where they're just not worth anything. So if something fundamental goes wrong, people throw them away.
Yes, exactly that. Any amount of
work thins out the field.
Well, any amount of work that needs doing professionally to it is more than the car's worth. So, 80% of the owners will just go, do you know what? You can keep the car, or weigh it in, or put it on Facebook Marketplace and misspell the ad really badly and take pictures with, I don't know, your thumb over the lens. Or
upload it. Oh, no, it's got upside down. Never mind.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Upside down. I love upside down pictures of cars. It gives me great joy in observing those. Talking of BMW ownership and estate cars, I have to mention a chap called Richard Norris, who sent an email to our old Smith & Sniff address.
Yes,
email address.
Lose 20 points, don't pass go, yes. Don't collect £200, Richard.
But I have to say, Richard, it's a lovely, sweet, sweet offer from the man. Mm. I've just been catching up on the podcasts and thought that if you've not pulled the trigger yet, I'd offer my car for you to borrow. By the way, he's pulled the trigger in inverted commas, of course.
Good.
I have an E34 540i touring 6-speed manual and it needs using more. I mean, seriously, tick, tick, effing tick. Bloody hell, that's one of my favourite BMWs. And he's put, I thought if I offered it to you to borrow, it could give me a kick up the arse to get it MOT'd again. What do you think? Cheers, Richard. I got back to him and went, that's one of my favourite 5 Series. Ruddy hell, are you selling it? I'm asking for a friend. He's put, no, I'm not selling it at the moment, Johnny. I've had it for 10 years and I keep on saying I'll spend a few more grand on it. The money always gets spent on other cars. In the last 3 weeks, I bought an MG ZS180, a Fit Coupe 20 valve, and a 2CV. I'm pretty much a lost cause.
MG ZS180?
Yes.
Underrated car.
Mm.
Fiat Coupe 20 valve turbo.
Yep.
Lovely car.
Yes, I'm down with those.
Future classic. Well, I mean, they always
think they are. They're retro, sausage, aren't they? They're retro car.
And a 2CV. Love a 2CV.
Sweet, sweet car.
Sweet, sweet car. But then I noticed that Richard had attached a picture of his E34 wagon to that email.
Oh, gosh, how attractive.
It's Avus Blue, if anyone knows that BMW colour. It's a lovely colour. And he's put it on those M5 alloys of the same era of 5 Series.
The Ninja Death Stars. Yes, that's right, throwing stars. Are ninjas around anymore, or was it more of an 80s thing? There are a lot of ninjas.
Yeah, they're
all at the job centre now, aren't they? We're doing community service.
What are your
service?
Skills, sir? Well, I'm a ninja.
Yeah.
Not much call for it around here. I'm afraid the ninja Ninja factory closed down. This is one hell of a nice looking car.
It is. Would you?
And he was offering just to lend it to you, to sort of see you over.
I wish I'd never bought the Element now on the basis that I could just have borrowed a 540i and driven around with just steering it with my right wrist while my left hand is just snicking the six-speed box. Snicking.
Oh, so much snicking.
Oh, and you know how it would snick, don't you? You know
how it would snick. It would snick.
It would snick Rick all the way. That's what he's called.
So much snicking, you'd be sick of the snicking after a while. But
you'd be sick of the snick.
You'd have borrowed that car and actually you'd have fallen in love with it, and then you'd have been sort of frantically offering. It would have been like the reverse of your Element, where the price kept going up by a grand.
I think
you'd have still paid it.
Maybe that's what Snick Rick is all trying to do. He's like a drug dealer, and his drug is E34. That's the name of the drug.
We're on to you, Norris.
Yeah.
Don't try and sneak in using the old email address. We know what you're up to.
Yeah, exactly. You put that under my nose.
Snick cocaine that you're
Yeah, while I was reversing into the gents' toilets in my bowling shoes, he went, "Oh, do you want to buy a couple of E34s? And I'm like, "Listen, mate.
Do you like E's? Why, what have you got?
34s. What? Oh, shit, they're a bit hard, aren't they, those ones? They last ages. If you have one a bit late, you've got to go to work the next weekend and you're still on it, and it spaces me out, mate. Can't handle that.
Still snicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a...
Well, Richard, what a car. I mean, seriously, what a car. What a lovely BMW. I would have that car in a heartbeat.
Well, since we're talking about interesting things that we have got from listeners, sort of, I had to share a story that was told to me in person by a listener called Nigel at the live show at Bentley last week.
Oh.
He'd alluded to this. He'd left a comment. I can't remember where, Patreon or on the YouTube or somewhere. He was referencing that I'd mentioned the arrestor bed for out-of-control lorries on the steep hill.
Ah, yes, near Bath.
Near Bath. And he said, I might be getting this wrong. I should have written it down. I was talking to Nigel, he gave me the story, but basically the gist is that his father-in-law was sort of responsible for that arrestor bed being introduced, because what used to be there was a little lane leading to six lock-up garages.
Oh, no.
And his... Forgive me, Nigel, if it wasn't your father-in-law. This is my memory of it. But his father-in-law owned a haulage firm, lost control of a lorry on that hill, went down the little lane and demolished...
Six garages?
Six lock-up garages with his...
No
with
way.
With his truck. And I think he had to swerve. I think that was it. He had to swerve out of the way of another lorry had jackknifed on the hill in bad conditions, and he swerved, went down the lane, demolished the garages. And this was the second time it had happened. And so they decided to put in an arrestor bed. And then, to my thing about going, I wonder what would happen if I just drove into it in my Range Rover.
Are you
going
to do it?
No, someone's done it.
Oh.
Nigel told me this. Now, this might be, maybe it was his father-in-law that owns a recovery company. They had to go and haul a P38 Range Rover out of that arrestor bed because some dickwit had gone, I wonder what would happen if, and had actually done it and had driven in. And of course, it's gravel, but it's very fine gravel.
Isn't it about 3 feet deep as well? Because it's got to stop a truck.
So a Range Rover just sinks up to its axles.
It's a bit like, and I don't know if any listeners have ever done this, it's usually the sort of thing that sensible dads would do, is you try running into a swimming pool and stay running. Have you ever done that? It's actually really hard. But I've done it. Have you done it? Yeah, you've done it. Yeah,
but it's actually completely impossible because...
Of course.
It turns out that Wile E. Coyote cartoons aren't a documentary.
It's annoying that you can't run in the air or on water, isn't it? Because even if you try to, it doesn't quite work.
It would be... It feels like it'd be a useful thing to be able to do, but it just... No, it's not going to happen.
No.
As far as I'm aware. No. Anyway, apparently, Nigel told me they tried to haul this Range Rover out of the arrest bed and they started hearing some really bad noises as they tried to pull it backwards with a winch because the... basically, it was just pulling the axles off. I can't remember how they got it out in the end. Nigel, write to us and tell us. hello@smithandsniff.com for anyone interested. Not just Nigel, but anybody who could furnish us with things that we might
find interesting. And as you know, that's a very broad church where we're concerned. So
I like that. Yes. I'd like to know if there was anything valuable in the lockups. Or maybe I don't want to know.
Yes.
If it was
Hillman Imp or something in there, it just got absolutely flattened. But
well, if it was a 70s film, it would be a guy having a poo on the toilet with a newspaper.
If it was a 70s film, then there'd be a couple having it off in one of the other ones on a mattress, wouldn't there?
That's true. 70s
films were not.
Yeah, with a guy with inflammable flared trousers halfway down.
Yes.
Whilst going for a. Yeah, of course it would. Yeah. That's exactly what would be happening.
Now, speaking of our trip to Crewe, to the live show, did you...
I drove there in the Leon Estate FR that I talked about earlier, actually. That's what hauled us there, yeah. Far enough.
Did you go back down the M6?
A little way, yeah, and then went across to Stoke and then went through Stoke-on-Trent, which has got some very early 90s pedestrian bridges over the... very early 90s.
They painted sort of vibrant colours.
Yes, they are actually. Mm. You know the ones, don't you? Like French blue and then slightly faded red, like a Mark III Astra.
Faded red, yeah.
It's looking a little tired, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. So, what was the point of this question?
Oh, well, because on the M6, there is now, and I think it's always been there, but it feels like it's grown since I used to regularly drive the M6. There's a scrapyard by the motorway.
Yeah.
And it's an extreme road safety hazard for the nerdish car man. And I was just suddenly thinking about this because I saw it on the way up and I was like, and I did sort of swivel my head in a way that wasn't possibly appropriate for, you know, driving at motorway speed. And then on the way back again, I suddenly went, oh, there's that scrapyard. Oh, there's a Freelander. And I was sort of looking and going, hang on a fucking minute. You're just driving. Look forward, you idiot. And I was like, but it made me wonder, or made me think about why are scrapyards so interesting?
Well, they're not to most people, but for fools like you and I, and maybe lots of other people listening, it's just that fascination of like, oh, how's that come to be there and does it deserve it? It's a bit like a sanctuary or a Battersea dog's home. You can just go through there and go, oh, is that a lost cause or could I bring that back from the brink? Am I the person that should take that on? And I know you can't always buy cars out of scrapyards, but you sometimes can. And there's also good things that yield, lots of things that yield parts. So in the old days when you had to remove all the parts yourself before eBay had shops and stuff like that, I guess it was that whole like, oh, imagine if you found the diamond in the rough. It was all about the diamond in the rough for me. And I don't know, I'm in fact, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? I don't know how long ago we did that video where we walked around the Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Of those dilapidated cars that chap had hoarded. But I feel like we should do that again, but this time bring more food with us. Should we?
Yeah, definitely more food.
More
food. It'd be nice if it wasn't as damp. But yeah, because I by chance... Maybe even it might have been that YouTube suggested that video to me, and it was a bit weird. So I heard it go, well, I don't want to watch that because I'm.
Did you write to them? Did you write to YouTube and say thank
dear
you?
Dear YouTube, thank
may
you.
May or may not know.
I do. I write to them every day. Just with their feedback on their suggestions.
Good.
But that video's done over 300,000 views now.
Bloody hell!
Which
has
is
it?
By our the woeful standards of our videos is really good. Nothing else has come close, and that's why I messaged you and went, we should probably walk around a damp field again sometime because it seems like that's the secret to success. And that was there was something quite ghoulishly fascinating about that field of stuff, but partly because, like you were saying, it's like that was you were looking at it going, well, could this come back to life?
Yeah, could it?
And the people selling those cars definitely wanted them to come back to life, whereas a scrapyard. I don't know. I just find them. I think it's not quite Battersea Dogs Home because it would be like Battersea Dogs Home, but all the dogs are dead.
Oh,
in a way.
Yes. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a wet market in a foreign country.
Oh God!
Which it's touch and go. There's some stuff that's dead. There's some stuff that's still just about alive, and it's just a matter of time. If you don't buy it and save it, someone will buy it and immediately eat it or butcher it. So.
You end up with a hotel room full of lizards.
Yeah. I know someone that bought a juvenile tortoise from a Moroccan street market. What? On the day they were flying home from holiday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because they couldn't bear, it was in a, it was, they, in fact, they bought all of them. There was like a sack full of them. And they felt so sorry for them. They bought them all and then they walked back to their hotel room and they let them all go.
Is that wise?
Well, I mean, they are native to the area. So,
okay. All
yeah,
right.
It's not like people that let goldfish go into the sea and then realise that goldfish can't live in salt yeah. water. It's not quite that unintelligent. But,
have
yeah.
I told you about this once? When I was walking down a street in North Carolina, in the Outer Banks, which, you know, I was familiar with that, sort of like kind of holiday area that a lot of New Yorkers go to. And it was the early hours of the morning. Well, in fact, it was sort of the late early hours of the morning because it was light. And
were you wearing bowling shoes?
I wasn't.
Because
I might be wearing flip-flops. Okay. I'd gone to a house party and then fallen asleep on a sofa with a glass of beer between my legs. And I'd managed to sleep for 2 hours with it perfectly positioned and then woken up and spilt it all over my shorts.
Brilliant.
And then realised that I need to go back to the hotel we're staying in. So I walked back to the hotel. I'm not even sure how I managed that because I've got a terrible sense of direction. But I was just walking down the street and there was a tortoise walking down the edge of the street.
In North Carolina?
Yeah. At the time I was like, oh, look at that, it's a tortoise. Hello, morning tortoise, lovely to see you.
Are you a bit pissed still?
Yeah. But I sort of assumed that they were native to that area and it's only later I realised that they're not.
No.
And that was maybe somebody's escaped tortoise and I should have done something more about it.
How big was it? How big was that tortoise?
Oh, big. Big guy.
Oh, okay. So really obvious to see if you're a motorist.
Yes. And it was sort of, you imagine like those American roads where there's like a solid white line down the edge and then there's a bit more tarmac.
Yeah.
It was one of those. And it was on the bit more tarmac. So it didn't feel like it was in danger of being run over. And because I was a bit like, well, obviously, you know, they're from round here. I'm sure they're perfectly capable of not being run over. It didn't occur to me to move it. And it had a lick on as well. I mean, it was properly just clipping along by tortoise standards.
I like. It's only looking back, if any go, listeners
oh,
from
shit,
NC,
absolute div.
Yeah, you are. You're a complete flute. But if there's any NC listeners who can verify the fact that I don't think tortoises are indigenous to North Carolina, I could be wrong.
No,
it might have been a terrapin, but I doubt it because I don't think.
No,
but
well, this is something that my wife and I was going to say clash. That overstates it, but in the US, there is a tendency to refer to tortoises as turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I always think, but it's really simple to tell them apart because turtles have flippers and tortoises have legs.
You can, you right? can get I mean, terrestrial turtles. But
what?
Yes, you can. I used to have one.
Oh.
Yeah. But well, we won't muddy the waters because predominantly that is the way to tell. It's a turtle is a turtle. And then, of course, a terrapin is a It's a derivative of, it's an outlaw of the turtle world, really.
Are they built on the same platform?
I think they're built. They got the same subframes. I'm pretty sure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar induction kit. So therefore, I'm sure they're shared. But I think terrapins have got a less attractive face. No disrespect to any terrapin owners out there. They just look less friendly and less like. I know that Sly Stallone had them as pets in Rocky, the first Rocky. And I know that's all I think of when I see a terrapin now. But I just don't know if they're nice pets. I'm just not sure. But yeah, I'd like to know if tortoises... Are any tortoises native to North America?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, but we weren't expecting to talk about this, so...
It's amazing how often we do talk about tortoises.
We do. I bloody love my tortoises.
Where are tortoises from?
Well, they're from all over, aren't
tortoises
they?
Tortoises are found from southern North America to southern... Okay, all right. God. This
South America tortoises, I can get that, native to South America, but... Oh, I never finished my chat about tortoises the Fiat Maria, to flip back.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go on.
Okay.
You do that while
I'm... Fiat Maria estate family had that car for years. Years and years and years, okay? But fairly recently I've noticed the Maria disappeared. And I was thinking, well, they finally realised that it's impossible to get parts for it. They're probably getting a bit bored of it. And it's not like you could take it to a classic car show and everyone would coo at it. So what they've done is they've bought a Fiat Idea instead. So it's got a again, another car no one gives a flying shit about. They are the ultimate Fiat rare but nobody cares family, it seems. The Maria's gone. I reckon it's been scrapped, but maybe it hasn't. It could be in the garage. There is a garage in the house, but I've never seen the garage open. But there's an idea on the drive. So the idea is presumably their more modern daily driver. But did anybody buy the idea?
No.
No, I didn't think so. So I mean, think these...
They are unloved Fiat loyalists. Where are they going to go next?
I don't know.
500L.
Oh, 500L. What a gawky POS. Well, actually, Peter Kay's come back into the limelight, hasn't he, into the public eye recently after being away for a long time for whatever reason. And he I think of when I see a 500L. Him on that amazing comedy series called, is it Car Share? What was it called?
Yeah, I think it was called Car Share, wasn't it?
Car Share. It was brilliant. Loved it. And that's all I think about with 500Ls. They're just so badly proportioned.
Terribly proportioned.
Terribly.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Just a horrible car.
You and I could get together, like you'd be walking to work at the side of the road with flip-flops on with a hangover looking at tortoises. I'd be walking backwards to work with piss-covered trousers and bowling boots. We'd walk in and we'd be the leaders of the Fiat Design Studio. We'd put the coffee machine on and then we'd have 2 hours to design the next Fiat in the bottom rung of the ladder. And that's what we would come up with.
But there was a stretched one, wasn't there, which was even worse.
Was it a shit idea?
Oh, not the idea, no, sorry, the 500L. There was a stretched 500L.
Oh, was it 500XL? Or was it
I don't think it was called that. I can't remember now because I sort of blotted it out. It was just piss poor. It was just terrible.
Was it called a Fiat Floater?
I can't remember what it was called here. The Fiat Floater. But they'd have spelled with the Italian word for floater, so it would sound terribly elegant until you realise what it meant.
Oh,
because no one ever really acknowledges the fact that if you're Italian, and Italian listeners, I'm sure can sort of knock us into line on this one. But Fiat's for the last sort of 30 odd years have not had very sexy names. If you're Italian, the Fiat Point, the Fiat One, the Fiat Type. I don't know what Maria means. Possibly nothing. I think it's like some princess of tides or something like that.
Tides? But, what is in like seaside tides?
I think so. I can't remember. I looked this up for my
boring books. Princess of Tides. I love that. I'd love to be called that.
It's got a slightly more romantic name than
Maria.
A lot of them. But hang on. This is just the episode of looking things up, isn't it? But here we go. Yeah, tide. Sorry, it means tide.
It just means the tide. So if you bought a Fiat Maria in a seaside town, how many minutes do you think it would last? You buy it brand new. In July.
Well, you think they're Golf, aren't they? They've got Golf.
Oh, they're Golf. They're Golf.
Generation, they're Golf, yeah.
Oh, they're Golf. Okay. So maybe they're not a very bad car. It's just nobody decided to buy it. I mean, there's been instances of that through the tapestries of the automotive world, as you well know.
That's a fair point. I don't.
In fact, what's another great car that nobody bought?
Well, the Subaru Legacy.
Didn't people bought that, though, didn't they? I see them all.
Not here. They do in America, but not here.
They love them in Colorado, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a strong Subaru, stronghold.
Four-wheel drive, I suppose, because of the snowiness. My favourite, I've just looked at my list that I did for one of my boring car trivia books of what Fiat names mean in English, or rather what the Italian is. And my favourite is the Fiat Tempra, because if you're Italian, that means the Fiat hardening.
Of course, it's tempering of something of steel or whatever. I always think of tempura, which is just associated with prawn.
Yes, me too. Just sort of battered. Deliciously battered.
That's what you were walking home in your flip-flops observing tortoises.
Beer-soaked shorts, going, oh, look, there's a tortoise. No, I've had a cursory look, and it seems like maybe some tortoises are indigenous to that part of the US, and so perhaps it was a wild tortoise.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. So maybe I'm talking absolute horse. You don't need to listen
to
me.
Well, I don't know, but I feel like I still have slight guilt that I didn't do more to help the tortoise. I don't know. It was a strange holiday, that, and there was a one occasion when also I was walking back to the hotel. I don't know if I was on my own, because I was with some mates, but we all seemed to get split up because of shenanigans, and I was walking back and there were just these three blokes sitting on the back of a pickup truck drinking beer.
brilliant.
And I stopped and had a beer with them.
Oh, did you? Oh, you did that? You sound like you're on a gap year.
I know.
That's a gap year behaviour.
I just finished university, so it was that sort of had that kind of, you know, you're of that age. And, all these blokes just kept saying, they were like, you're English. And I was like, yeah, I'm English. And they just kept on telling me how they wanted to bang Princess Diana.
Oh, well, that's nice.
She was alive at this point, okay. Just to be clear. Not horrible. It was just slightly disrespectful. But, yeah, that was the main conversational topic, I seem to remember. And they kept returning to it, even though I was trying to, I don't know, probably ask them how they were getting on with their Ford F-150. But we should probably bring this one slowly into the dock.
No, I don't want to. I want to talk more about walking at the side of the road observing things, if that's all right.
I can't. It's too late here, and some absolute cockslot is letting off fireworks, even though that time was a week ago.
They found a few in a biscuit tin in the shed, and they thought, "Oh, let's just let these off now that people have let dogs back out." And
yeah, exactly.
Cats
so now
are
the dogs.
Free.
I can't. I hate dogs, and I don't want them to be able to relax. So I'm going to do this.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Right. All right. Well, anyway, we got to stop this,
guys.
But before we do. Got three things to tell you. There, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called the Staple Drakes to Stakes Show, in which he uses metal paper fixatives to attach male ducks to wooden poles.
it's nothing to do with the Canadian rapper.
No, because he's already featured in a couple of these.
Yeah, he has.
Running out of things that sound like that. If that's not to your taste, then what about the Late Break Show, which has got loads of excellent videos about cars and people who love cars. Update on your Allegro.
Oh, thanks, Richard. Thanks for the plug. I appreciate that.
I do this every week.
I know you do, but I just don't ever thank you. And I thought that today was the day for that.
Oh, bless you.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And thanks for sending me all of those cars I could have also bought instead of the Element. My WhatsApp feed is just littered with car and classic pornography that you keep sending me.
I think you've ended up in the right place. So the second thing I've got to tell you is, I've got various books out. Take your pick. I don't know.
Steel Flies.
Boring Car Trivia. I don't know which one the Fiat Marea fact was in. So just buy all of them. There's three of them.
Do any of them mention the fact that Lionel Richie says Fiesta Forever in All Night Long? Because, of course, Fiesta is not forever.
No, factually wrong.
So Richie's going to have to put out a public apology. That'll be next week's podcast. I want that recorded, Lionel, and I want us to play it here on this Smith and Sniff podcast, please. All right, stop being a stroker and send it over to us on voice notes. Thank you.
Yeah, he loves voice notes. He does WhatsApp voice notes a lot.
Loads of them. He just says hello and then just pauses for ages.
Well, the way that you use voice notes just to ring to leave me a thing with that guitarist bloke falling off his stool.
Do you want me to do that? A quick impression. Okay. Here's a song. Oh!
Fucking hell! If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll put the link in the Patreon.
Oh,
show
my
next.
Gosh, it's the funniest thing you'll see all year if you haven't already seen it.
It bears repeat viewing about a thousand
it's
times.
It's still
I'm
good.
Counting.
Still good.
Oh, I've still got to tell you a third thing. It's not a very good one, actually. The Sweeney, we know the Sweeney, don't we? It was created by the younger brother of the man who wrote The Italian Job.
Really?
Yeah. Ian Kennedy Martin, brother of Troy Kennedy Martin, who wrote The Italian Job. But then there's a bit of circularity on this because Ian came up with the Sweeney, but his Italian Job writing brother Troy wrote the second Sweeney movie.
Now, controversial. What's cooler, The Italian Job or The Sweeney?
Ooh.
Your opinion, Richard. Quick.
Well, you got me on the spot here. I don't know. I mean, there's something gritty and very cool about The Sweeney. I mean, I love The Italian Job. Michael Caine. Michael Caine's cool, isn't he? Probably Michael Caine is cooler than John Thor.
Michael Caine is cool. Okay, but the Sweeney wins for me.
Mm.
I don't know. There's something about the Sweeney. It was more groundbreaking. It was more real.
It feels like it's trying less hard. Perhaps, to be cool. But then almost what you're saying is the Sweeney represents the 70s, very 70s show.
Very 70s.
The Italian Job is in many ways a sort of epitomises the late 60s. So are you saying the 70s is cooler than the 60s?
I think if I said that, lots of people would shout at me and say no. I mean, there was disco. There was punk, I suppose, as well. But
We'll continue.
Yes, we'll continue these really important talks.
Smoking pipes and wearing brown suits with big lapels, like one of those 70s discussion shows.
I am right now, and I'm currently smoking a cigarette whilst eating a plate of bacon and a really flammable suit.
Ah, the 70s. All right, well, anyway, that's quite enough of this. We will do it all again next week. But until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm doing another burp. Sorry.
That's really nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
this
lovely.
This is why I don't normally drink beer during the recording.
I know.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.